The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
It's time for The Last Word on the environment, and John Gibbons is with us. John, we have lots to get through this week. I want to get your take on the events at Stonehenge yesterday with another Just Stop Oil attempt to make some publicity. But let's start with the big Irish green story this week, which is the Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, announcing he was stepping down in the next couple of weeks. What do you make of his decision?
Good evening, Ian. Yeah, I think it was, first of all, it had been fairly well flagged, I think, and certainly within green circles that it was coming. It certainly wasn't in response to their European and local election results, which by Green Party standards weren't bad. It wasn't a wipeout. It was actually, I believe, the second best performance they've achieved in a local election. So it certainly, he was under no pressure, Ian, as you know, within the party to step down. There's no question about that. And I would take it at face value that I think he felt the work involved, the hours involved, basically was incompatible with a family life and a home life, including they have a special needs son who would require, you know, a lot of parenting.
The track record he leaves, the legislative track record.
I think it's exceptional, and I think this has been seen, Ian. I think people have been quite surprised this week at the strength of the positive feedback and the positive reaction to Eamon Ryan stepping down.
Positive in some quarters, John. I can assure you the text messages here and some of the other comments online are not as positive.
Sure. I mean, we all have our trolls, Ian, as you know, but like serious people. And for example, I was reading the Farmers Journal this afternoon, and their anonymous columnist actually was fulsome in his praise of Ryan and the fact that the Greens have been very successful for a small party in pursuing an agenda, a progressive agenda on environment and climate. Not everybody likes progressive agendas on climate and environment. Lots of people, lots of vested interests feel very threatened by it. But in terms of doing good and doing right for the rest of us, for people generally, I think Ryan can hold his head up high and say that he has done the state some service, if I can borrow a phrase. For example, I think all the way back to his first term in office, he was largely responsible for changing the building regulations so that every building, Ian, that has been commissioned in the last 14 years or so is now A-rated. That is an incredible achievement. So we literally turned around our building stock because of focus and dedication and getting through important legislation. And even though they paid the price by being eliminated, as you know, the Greens were wiped out in 2011, the legacy of that forward-thinking legislation means that every house, every apartment that is built in Ireland today is built to much better quality. So that's something that the Greens, that's one of many achievements I could single out, but it's something that the Greens have done that helps ordinary people, because having houses and apartments that are efficient, that are easy to heat, that are comfortable, these are good things. For example, I think as well, there's been a lot of praise, rightly this week, for the fact that the Greens have revolutionised public transport in Ireland. I mean, it was in a dire strait. If we went back, say, Ian, to 2019, public transport in Ireland was in a dire state. They've pumped a lot of money into it, but they've really done a huge amount of work in rural Ireland. We have rural link buses now going to little villages, crisscrossing the countryside, and there's been a dramatic increase in the use of public transport. I know they get pilloried in rural Ireland all the time, but the Greens have delivered on public transport. They've also delivered, for example, on fibre broadband. I would personally argue that you're better off with 5G broadband, but that's another day's subject.
And there will be plenty of people, John, as you know, who write in the Irish Farmers Journal and read the Irish Farmers Journal that might disagree with some of the things you said on rural Ireland. And of course, one of the other critics of the Green Party, and Eamon Ryan in particular, has been Ryanair. And they were a little bit prominent the other day. They were holding a protest as he was announcing they were holding a PR opportunity the day he was announcing he was stepping down.
Yeah, I was pleased to see Simon Harris's remarks about this in the Dáil today, where he basically called out the really disgusting behaviour on the part of Ryanair. Basically, these are an airline. I know they like their cheap publicity stunts and all the rest, but they're actively trying to interfere in the democratic process here. Now, this isn't,
as
by the way,
they are entitled to do, to lobby in any way they want, like any other company.
I don't believe that that's the case, Ian. I don't believe that's the case at all. I think, for example, that what Ryanair are doing here by this piling on onto individual ministers, the purpose of this isn't just to slag off Eamon Ryan, but this is to send a clear message to the next Minister for Transport that you better cave into Ryanair or we'll pile onto you. Now, this is disgusting.
Every company lobbies in different ways. People do public relations in different ways.
One other Irish company or one other Irish-based company that publicly and repeatedly attacks government ministers. Just give me one name. There isn't one, right? Now, I go back a few years with you, and I was just reading this up earlier in 2010 when Michael O'Leary was brought before a High Court judge, and basically the judge called him a liar.
Let's make this about Eamon Ryan, not Michael O'Leary.
I know, but the thing is, really, Michael O'Leary likes publicity, but he likes to hide in behind his Ryanair brand.
Okay.
But the man is really...
Michael O'Leary is not here, and, you know, we started this about Eamon Ryan, so let's move on. I mentioned Just Stop Oil at the start there, and you know Just Stop Oil have been doing these stunts for the last couple of years across the UK, where they have been targeting high-profile events, they have been targeting high-profile artists, installations, they've been targeting streets of London and other parts of the cities and causing mayhem. And the latest one was to spray Stonehenge with orange powder paint. How's that saving the environment?
Yeah, I suppose, as you say, Ian, this is a PR stunt. I guess the purpose of the exercise is so that you and I are talking about it today, right? Do I think it's a great idea, this particular stunt? Not really. Now, they did use a cornflour starch-based paint. In other words, it washes off, so it's pretty harmless. So the purpose of the exercise is that we're talking about the need to wind down fossil fuels. So that's the
purpose. No, we're not. We're talking about... these activists, we're not talking about winding down fossil fuels, because for the last 2 years when they've been pulling off this stunt and the success, the predecessors to Just Stop Oil, which was Extinction Rebellion, they haven't had success either.
Well, I guess you could, if we were here 100 years ago having the conversation about the appalling behaviour of the suffragettes, blowing up post boxes, committing arson, smashing windows, Ian, I think you might, the 1920 version or 1910 version of you might be saying, isn't it disgraceful, John? Why can't these people, you know, why are they so disruptive? And the fact is that occasionally if you want to make an omelette, you have to break eggs. We've seen this in the civil rights movement. We've seen it in the anti-apartheid movement. We've seen it in the suffragette movement, and now we're seeing it in the climate movement. The difference here is these are peaceful protesters, and in Britain, for example, it is a criminal offence to walk on the street in Britain. You can be arrested and get a criminal record for walking on the street. So
if the intention is to cause an incident, not you can protest on the street, but if you slow march or if you lock arms, that is what is illegal. They changed the law.
You're absolutely right. So if you walk slowly on the street, how exactly is that a criminal offence? What crime have you committed? This, by the way, is a country that claims to be a democracy, and it is criminalising peaceful protest. Now, to my understanding, the hallmark, the difference between Western democracies and, for example, Russia, is that in Russia, if you put a foot out of line, if you go and protest about Putin, along come the police and they arrest you. Now we're seeing exactly the same thing happening in Britain.
Because there were instances where ambulances were unable to get through to hospital, and there were also instances where there were people who were rushing to see relatives who were in hospital and didn't make it in time.
Right. I think we might be hamming up the hospital incidents just a little bit, Ian. For example, if we're that concerned about ambulances going to hospital, we probably would agree that we should limit car access to cities. But of course, if you said that, then suddenly people say, oh, no, I'm not that interested in people going to hospital. I only like to use that as an excuse to give out about protesters on an issue that I don't agree with. And it is interesting, for example, that some of the Tories who have absolutely pilloried Just Stop Oil and so on for their tactics, the same people believe that the right to protest still exists, but only for issues that they agree with. And I guess my view, Ian, on this is that we either have a right to peaceful assembly and peaceful protest, or we don't. And at the moment, you'd be hard-pressed to choose between what's happening in London and what's happening, for example, in Moscow.
Isn't there a better way of protesting? Look how Greta Thunberg, over the years, has had a success at protesting, and she didn't do any of these stunts.
Well, actually, Greta Thunberg has been arrested numerous times, by the way. She's been involved in various direct action stunts. So I'm sorry again to correct you there. By the way, just while we're talking about good acts, or acts that are sort of, I suppose, ring true with people, the same Just Stop Oil people today, they broke into a a runway, and they spray painted Taylor Swift's private jet, right? They daubed it with orange paint. And I guess Taylor Swift, as you know, would have probably one of the largest individual carbon footprints in the world. She's notoriously buzzes around absolutely everywhere on her private jet. So I think that's probably something that rings a little more true with people, to target in a more direct way. I think going after, for example, throwing paint at paintings or soup at paintings, and, you know, and throwing stuff at Stonehenge. I'm not crazy about targeting artifacts, but the issue really is about trying to draw attention to this. And the real problem here, as you know, is that we only seem to talk about climate and environment issues when we're giving out about protesters. And maybe that's how it has to go. And maybe the protesters have to become such a major pain in the neck that eventually we get past complaining about the protests and we start to say, what on earth are they protesting about? Is it the fact that we're seeing record temperatures right across the world? Are we seeing, we saw 900 people died of heat-related events in Saudi Arabia this week during the Hajj. We're seeing record temperatures across, we're breaking 50 degrees centigrade in multiple countries across the Middle East. Now, it is summertime, yes, but these are the hottest temperatures ever recorded. And we're dumping more and more fossil fuels. Last year, for example, Ian, we put more than 40 billion tons of additional fossil fuels, dumped it into the atmosphere, where it is heating the world up. Now, why aren't we protesting about that? In fact, I was listening to your earlier slot when the biggest worry of the day is, is there going to be an impediment to Irish people's unlimited right to fly anywhere they like, anytime they like?
John, now, there's a lot of people who are concerned about maybe their only holiday this year with their kids is at jeopardy.
Well, maybe that's the case, again, for a small number of people, right? But in Ireland, as you know, Ian, we're looking at, 30 to 40 million passenger movements per annum just through Dublin Airport, just through that, our main airport. So how many of those do you think are that one trip a year? And how many? And by the way, I think that's fair enough. But how many people that are listening to us today have been, five, six, seven, eight times a year? And there's no consequence.
Very few. Very few.
You think so, Ian? I'd be happy to trade figures with you on this, because what we see, in fact, is that the 1% of flyers in Britain fly 50% of the time. So it is a habit among the very well-off in most cases that they love to fly, and they fly here, there and everywhere. And they do it without limitations. And of course, as we know, aviation is far too cheap because we don't tax aviation. We don't tax it like our aviation kerosene is not taxed. We don't put duty on it. We don't put VAT on it. So you and I down at the petrol pumps pay vastly more for a litre of fuel than the aviation companies pay for the same litre. Except their litre of fuel, Ian, does twice as much climate damage as your litre of petrol.
That is very true about no kerosene, no jet fuel taxes and all of that. John, listen, we're out of time. There's other stuff I wanted to go through with you, but we could have been arguing until 7:30 this evening. John Gibbons, we'll talk to you next week.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.